What is up, and welcome to the Pasta Physique Podcast, a place where we give you the tools to align your body, mind, and soul so you can create a life you're obsessed with.
We're your hosts, Jen and James, and we manifested our dream life here in Italy, where we eat pasta, lift weights, swim in the sea, and enjoy wine with dinner. It's all about balance.
We are on a mission to help you feel empowered to take messy action on your journey. Want to join us? Let's dive right in.
Welcome to the Pasta Physique Podcast, and today it's Jen and I, and we have a very special guest. Her name is Shay Jordan, and she is a content creator who lived in Los Angeles for 6 years before pursuing her dream of studying Italian in Bologna, Italy. She's built a language learning community through her YouTube channel and loves to inspire others to start learning a new language. She currently lives in Bologna, where she studies Italian and continues to create content for her YouTube channel and other social channels. Shay, welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm super excited to talk with you guys today.
We are so excited to have you on. In fact, I first found you through YouTube, actually, because I was like, I think I was searching like like Italian study plan, like something to like actually make me like commit to studying Italian. And that's how I, that was like maybe a couple years ago, actually, at this point.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's great to connect and chat. And, you know, we talk a lot about well-being in general in terms of like health and wellness. But I think there's also something to be said about like mental well-being and doing things to challenge yourself. And in this case, for us and what connected us, that would be Italian language and learning another language.
Yeah.
We've actually been studying Italian for, I'm going to say, probably about 7-8 years, Jen. What do you think?
Yeah, and still not any better.
Yeah. We're better, just not, you know.
Have you taken any classes, or you guys just use like online resources, or and just, you know, being in Italy?
Yeah, I mean, we actually started back in the States, like when we first started thinking about moving to Italy. Well, we were actually planning our honeymoon to Italy. So we were like, oh, let's just like casually, you know, take lessons. We were doing it with like somebody in our community who was a retired Italian professor. So she just like treated us like her grandchildren. It was just fun and
easy. Very cool. Yeah.
But then during that time, we got job offers here in Italy, both of us. So we were like, oh, shit, like we actually have to start taking this seriously. Like, not just like, can I have a, you know, can I get a pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great question, by the way.
Yeah,
it's a great question. And then we started, when we moved to Rome, we studied with Lucrezia, who is has her YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So we did private lessons with her. And then we have been studying with different teachers in Italki. We've done some classes, but it is hard to commit. And both of us, our previous experience here in Italy is we were working for international schools that speak English.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I think it sounds like what I think many expats face is when they come to study or when they come to work and they're in a community of English speakers, it actually is a lot. It's like you'd think it'd be easier. You know, here in Italy, you're immersed in it, but especially in bigger cities like Rome or Florence, there is a lot of English speaking community. And for James and I, we'd go to work, we'd speak in English.
Speaking English at home.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do think, you know, the Italian language is beautiful. And as we continue to learn it and explore it with the culture, like, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface, you know?
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. That's enough about us, Jen. I want to hear about Shay. What drew you to the Italian language and the culture?
So I get asked this question a lot. I would say a bunch of things, actually. First off, my family actually has some connections to Italy. So on my mom's side, her side of the family is very Italian. And my great-grandfather was, you know, the last one born in Italy, and then they came to the U.S.
And where was he born? Or where was he from?
In Rocca Secca, like in, actually, it's like an hour or two from Rome, I think, south.
Yeah, very cool, very cool.
Still in like the Lazio area. And I just always have had this appreciation for the history and culture of Italy, just learning about ancient Rome. And my education when I was in middle school and high school, I actually took Latin classes, which is very strange. But, you know, within learning about Latin, we learned about a lot of authors who wrote in Latin, and then, you know, just like more history and culture there. I also really loved like Roman and Greek mythology as well. So basically just like everything about Italy, I've just found super fascinating. And then, so that's why I chose Rome as my destination to study abroad when I was in college. And then once I got there, obviously, as you probably know, like how could you not fall in love with Rome?
Exactly. Yeah.
It was so beautiful. And like Jen said earlier, just the language, the Italian language is just so beautiful. It's so nice to speak. And
it sounds pretty.
It does. It really is so nice. And it was one of those things where I was like, I want to learn this language so badly. But as we talked about, it really is so difficult because just like you said, if you're surrounded by other English speakers, or, you know, all my classmates were from my university in the US. So I wasn't getting a lot of practice speaking Italian other than, as we mentioned before, going somewhere and ordering a pizza or ordering a coffee. Yeah.
I think we're probably all professionals at that at this point.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was one of those things where after I got back from Rome studying abroad, I loved it so much. And I was like, I need to go back there. I want to go back to Italy. And I want to continue studying the language because, you know, one of the easiest ways to go back is to be a student, just because visas and all that stuff is just such a headache. And
that is true. Very true.
For me, I was like, my easiest way to get there is to get a student visa. But, you know, it was kind of like it was good because I was working towards this goal as I was studying by myself at home, you know, during COVID. It was like, it was great because I had something to work towards. I had this goal of like, okay, I'll study as much as I can right now. But then ultimately, I'd love to go study Italian in Italy so I can kind of get past this like intermediate plateau, you know, yeah. Or get to that more advanced level once I'm in Italy.
And I think I remember like you really putting that out there in one of your YouTube videos, which we will link in the show notes as well, just for our listeners if they want to explore your page. But I remember specifically you like, it had to have been during COVID because you were like reading in Italian, you were journaling in Italian. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, that's such a good idea to journal in Italian. That was so, so inspirational.
Yeah.
But it really, like you were really manifesting coming back to Italy. Like mm-hmm. that was like, which is kind of like when we were studying in the States, like for our honeymoon, like said, you're doing things that are like the path of least resistance to get back here. Mm-hmm. But how much time went between your study abroad and to when you came back in Italy? Because you're here in Italy now.
Yeah. So I studied abroad in 2018. So then I got home around like May. Yeah, I guess it was May 2018. And then I got here to Italy this year, so 2022, at the end of April. Yes, April? No, end of March. End of March, I think. Yeah, so it was one of those things where I knew I wanted to go back to Italy. I actually wanted to go back sooner, but because of COVID, that really just like delayed my plans. But it is also interesting because in a way, I think of it in a more positive way. It allowed me to study a little bit longer, but also I was able to work at my job for a solid 2 years and save up more money than I, you know, initially would have been able to help like fund my travels here. But also my YouTube channel really built up in that time as well. So that was just another way that I could support myself here. So it was kind of like, even though I felt like all the pieces fell apart with COVID and I was just kind of seeing my goal get further and further away, it kind of was like, wait, no, now all these pieces are fitting together almost in a better way. So it's like one of those things that just kind of crazy. Sometimes you think, oh no, this is terrible. All these things are going wrong. But actually, sometimes it takes you down, you know, a different path that might have actually just been better.
Yeah, that's awesome because it seems like the opportunity presented itself for you to be like, oh, this just isn't meant to be.
Yeah.
And you kind of just stop. But it seems like you went the opposite direction. You're like, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to put myself in the best position possible. So when the time comes, I'm ready. That's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it happens so often that we think we have the idea of what we want, but then, you know, it doesn't happen our way. Mm-hmm. But it's when I really like to lean on like this or something better. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened for you in coming here.
Yeah.
And it's better than you well, maybe not for your apartment situation if you've been following Shay on Instagram, but it's still like the view that I saw from your apartment is beautiful. So I feel like even that still worked out for you.
Yeah. Well, that's what my boyfriend and I talked about, because we had such trouble trying to find an apartment. So it was, you know, here's another kind of roadblock or obstacle that was just so difficult, especially when you first get to a new place and it's like you're worried about where you're going to live.
Yeah.
I saw one place before this that was just awful. But there was part of me that was like, maybe I just have to take it because I don't know what my options are.
How did you decide on Bologna?
Oh, that's also a very good question.
I've been dying to know that one, honestly. Like, I'm like, how did she pick Bologna? Okay, sorry, I'll stop interrupting.
No, that's okay, because it's a really good question. I mean, my teachers always ask me that, and other students ask me as well, because everyone wants to know. I wanted to study in Italy in a city that wasn't too touristy and wasn't too big, because as I've noticed so far when I've gone to Florence and Venice, when I speak Italian there, people will still respond to me in English.
Yeah.
And I know that they're trying to be accommodating, but for me, I'm like, please, I want to continue practicing Italian. Whereas here in Bologna, pretty much all the time, people will respond to me in Italian. And there are a lot of times here where if I do ask if they speak English, if I can't communicate something well, they're usually like, not really. So it's good because it challenges me to keep using Italian. Also, Bologna is, in my opinion, the perfect size because it's small enough where it's very walkable. I don't really have to take buses or trams or anything. And I don't, you know, need a car, but it's still big enough where there's still very like vibrant, a lot of people here, a lot of young people here, because there's the big university here as well. The food is amazing.
The food is fantastic.
Yeah, it's great here. Also, just the location of it is great for, you know, taking trains to all these different cities. Like I've already been to Verona and Venice, Florence. I'm hoping to go to Rome soon. So just the proximity to all these cities within Northern Italy and just how easy it is to get places by train is also great. And then, you know, my school, I was looking for some of the best programs I could find, and my school just had great reviews on all these different websites. And when I reached out to the person who runs the school, he was just super amazing and super helpful. And I really felt like I would get the best experience there. So it was just like, yeah, Bologna is the place.
Yeah, that's awesome. Bologna is beautiful. And like, we actually like to go there in the fall because I feel like the food really caters to like that time of year a little bit when the fall flavors start to come out. But you know, it was hearing, you brought up something that kind of reminded me of something that Jen and I noticed when we were here in Rome. And when we would speak Italian, when we first moved here, other people would respond in English. And it was interesting because a lot of times it's not that we spoke the best Italian, but our Italian was most of the time better than the English that the other person was using.
Yes.
But then Jen and I eventually realized that like, wait a second, they just want the opportunity to practice their English, just like we want the opportunity to practice our Italian. So it kind of made it much easier. Yeah.
We would continue in Italian and they would continue in English.
Oh, yeah.
But it's honestly, I don't know if you experience this because I when you're at home, do you and your boyfriend speak in English with each other? I'm assuming.
Yeah. English. Yeah.
So I don't know if you've noticed this, but for me, like when I'm speaking in Italian with my friends who also speak English and we end up having these like bilingual conversations or I'm speaking more in Italian and then I have to switch to English, like when I'm home with James, like, do you find that absolutely exhausting?
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially right when I come back from class, because my whole class for 4 hours is just all Italian, you know, the teachers are speaking Italian. And sometimes I'll come home and then it's like, okay, you know, I come home to like have lunch with my boyfriend or see my boyfriend. And I'm like, hey, time to switch back to English. But it's weird because even throughout the day, like if I'm just doing something by myself, I feel like Italian is just running through my brain. Like I'll be thinking about how to say something in Italian, which is good, I think, because my brain is like processing stuff, you know, kind of in the background. But it is very exhausting. And that's what I realized when I first got here. I was like, wow, I'm so tired all the time because it's very mentally draining to just like be around an entirely new language that you're, you know, exposed to for all day, every day when you're not used to that. It really takes a lot out of you.
Italian language or any language learning for an adult is not easy, right? Like,
yeah,
we've developed with the language that we speak. It's a lot easier for kids to learn the language. And I think that holds a lot of people back from trying. I do see more and more people on Duolingo, but I'm not sure how efficient Duolingo is with language learning. But I'm curious, like, what top tips would you offer to somebody who is interested in starting to learn a language, whether it's Italian or something else?
So I would say my tips would be just find ways that you can incorporate language learning into things you already do. So as we mentioned in the beginning, you know, I talked about like reading in Italian and journaling in Italian. So many people told me like, oh, wow, journaling. I never thought about that. But I, you know, now I haven't been journaling as regularly, but I used to journal all the time. So it's like thinking of things that you already do. Or another fun thing is looking up recipes in another language, you know, if you cook a lot, things like that. Like, ways to make it more fun so it doesn't feel like you're just reading out of a textbook and not actually, you know, using or remembering any of this information. Also, for me, like, I loved watching TV series and movies that I really liked to hear the language. And also, you can practice repeating back like what you heard to help with your pronunciation. But also, I feel like, you know, so many people are so quick to jump into apps. But while I do think apps can be helpful, I definitely don't think you're going to be able to learn an entire language just by using Duolingo or, you know, an app like that. I think there are so many free resources online that I was really shocked by. And there's a lot of times like free stuff, free worksheets, free study plans that you can focus on as well. So yeah, just kind of like make sure that your language plan is catered to what you like to do and things that you will find interesting and not just like completely bored by, because it's super easy to become unmotivated very quickly.
Yes. Stagnant in the process.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially if you are somebody who is used to like really being good at something or remember getting good grades in school, and then you go to learn a language as an adult.
Yeah.
And it might not come as easy as you anticipated to come. And
yeah,
I think another misconception is that it comes fast because I've had people reach out to me, and I'm not sure if you've experienced this too, where they're like, oh, I'm coming to Italy on vacation, so I'm going to study Italian, which was my original motivator. I won't lie. Like, I won't lie.
Yeah.
That's why I first started, like, for our honeymoon and after visiting here. But I want to say to them, like, listen, I've been studying Italian for like 6 or 7 years and it's like not easy. Like, I don't know what you're going to, what do you plan to accomplish in the next few weeks before you come on your trip? So I think part of that too would be like setting
realistic expectations. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Now, you mentioned a study plan and like, what would be the components, would you say, of a study plan that is, you know, that covers all of the components of learning a language, like speaking, reading, writing, listening? Like, what would be your top tips for putting that together?
Yeah. So I would say try to, again, be realistic about how much time you have each day, because I know it's super tempting when you first start out to be like, I'm going to study for an hour, 2 hours, or whatever. But just be realistic. I think for me, what kind of helped was figuring out, okay, I'm way more productive in the morning. I just always found that I was able to study more and focus better in the morning. But some people are, you know, they're like night owls and they prefer to stay up late and whatever. That just doesn't work for me. So figuring out what time of day you feel most productive. And if you could find just pockets of time throughout your day too, like if you don't have a chunk of 30 minutes to study, if you can do like 15 minute little sessions, that's great as well. I would say, for me, I never tried to cram all of those components into one day. So sometimes if I was just doing like a light study day, I would just try to read a few chapters of the book that I'm reading in Italian. And, you know, maybe later that night, I'd watch like an Italian TV show, because that the watching Italian TV, you know, isn't as intensive as going through a new grammar topic or something like that. But I would say, like, definitely get a good mix throughout the week of reading, speaking, writing, listening. Obviously, everyone, I think, puts speaking last, because it's very hard to get speaking practice. And it's also very scary if you are using a tutor or trying to talk with a native speaker. But you can even just like practice talking to yourself too, if you're like doing chores around the house, and you can
very good idea
with yourself, and you know, you're in the shower, you could talk about your day or something. So just always getting that speaking practice is like, you know, I think people think that you need to sit down for 30 minutes or an hour and just study, but there's just better ways to incorporate it throughout your day.
I love what you said about like speaking to yourself. Yeah. I used to do like voice notes to myself.
Yeah.
Because I could then like listen back and hear my accent, which I still have. It's never going away. And I, in fact, it used to really hold me back from speaking because I just have such a strong American accent, until I saw this quote and it completely changed the way that I think about Italian. Like, it just was like flipping a switch. And the quote was like that my accent, and this is not completely word for word, but this is like the idea of the quote.
Yeah.
But it was like, my accent when speaking like another language, like not my native language, is actually a sign of courage.
Yeah.
And I loved that so much because it's so true. Like, we often are so, at least I have felt like embarrassed or like I shouldn't have such like a strong accent, but what a badge of bravery to put yourself in the position to be a beginner again.
Exactly. I know. I'm always like really, really hard on myself, and especially coming here. I mean, I've had so many instances where it's been so embarrassing because like I've messed up a word, or, you know, you just can't communicate because you're just end up staring at each other because you don't know like how to communicate with each other. And I've had so many awkward moments.
Okay, we have
really
to
frustrated.
Know.
Yeah, sure, at least one.
What's been the most, we will each, have one for James and I, so we can keep it balanced, but would you say be like the most awkward or embarrassing?
Oh gosh, I don't know, I'd have to think about it. Whenever I get put on the spot, I'm like, my brain just goes blank.
You're like, no,
I don't know.
For me, it was the word, and I'm still going to mess it up because I have like PTSD about the word now.
Okay.
But it was cavallo or cavolo.
Mm.
I can't remember. The one's cabbage and one is horse.
One is horse, yeah.
And it was at my old workplace. They were having cabbage, like cream of cabbage. But on the sign, I read it as cream of horse because the words were so similar. And I panicked. It was like my first week of being in Italy, and they put it on my plate and it had like a slight purple tinge to it. And I'm like, nothing makes sense. Mm. Like, you know, like you're kind of in that first week phase of like kind of being in a fog and you don't know what's happening. And like, you're missing home and you're just adjusting. And I like remember sitting at the lunch table and everybody else was eating and like totally seemed like there was nothing weird about this like purple cream of horse that they had served us. And like, I wouldn't eat it. I was just sitting there like, what am I going to do? How am I going to like, I'm going to be starving. And then finally I like whispered to a colleague, I'm like, what is this? She was like, it's like a cream of cabbage, like a veggie mix. And it was like such a sigh of relief, but it's so easy to, you know, confuse words like that. Or like there's quite a few words in the Italian language that are like, one is a bad word or an inappropriate word. And then the other is a totally normal object, like a pen. And then there's another word.
I know what you're talking about.
Where like, if you were to ask for it, you're going to get like
yep.
a very weird look. So yeah, I totally relate to that. And James, what I was going to say for you is just,
I have my own.
I was going to say, it's like your existence in
my
Italian
existence.
Because you look Italian. So people like Shay, you and I are both like blonde hair. Like we don't look Italian, but James looks Italian.
Yeah. The typical, you know, I fall into the category of, you know, 30 to 50% of all Italian men between the ages of 30 and 50 that is, you know, bald with a beard. So like, when I first moved here, people would look at me, they would expect me to speak well, they would expect to have a conversation, and then I might start out okay, also have a pretty decent Italian accent, okay? My English-speaking accent, it's terrible, okay? But the Italians love it, but when I hit them with a little bit and they're like, oh, okay. And then it just falls off the cliff.
And then they just start looking at you like
yeah. Man, this guy, like something is seriously off with this guy. Shay, I'm not going to lie. I am jealous of you.
Oh.
And the reason is you are from California. And I'm jealous of that because, you know, there's few locations that the Italians love.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lot about New York. You hear a lot about Miami, Vegas, California. Mm-hmm. So every time they ask me where I'm from, I can't say Delaware because I'm from Delaware.
Okay.
There's people in America that don't know where Delaware is. Right. So I always have to just be like, Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But you get to say California, and I'm sure people's eyes just light up.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me, I'm very curious because California is known for a typically healthier lifestyle, as is the Italian lifestyle. So how do they compare?
That's a very good question. I mean, one of the reasons why, as you mentioned, California is so great and nice is because of the healthier lifestyle. And I think living near the beach in California was amazing because, you know, being active could be playing beach volleyball with friends or just going for a walk on the beach, you know, just being outdoors. And I think that's a big thing here as well of just being outdoors, eating with friends, you know, in a park or just eating outside more, which I love. And I think one thing that I notice that's different here is I would say just food wise, I love that there's a lot of fresh food. I feel like the vegetables and produce and everything is great here, but just as far as great salads or a really nice mix of this bowl of a bunch of different things that you could get so easily in California, all these different types of healthier options, I would say, is very difficult to find here. So I usually end up making things by myself if I want a salad, because I've noticed the Italians are not great at salads.
Yeah, they're very, very, very simple when it comes to salads. Very
simple. It's some arugula.
Right.
Salad dressing, for the most part, doesn't really exist.
Oh,
yeah. But you know, James, we did see at the grocery store, they did have Caesar salad now and ranch dressing. And
oh, yeah.
It made me feel
like some sort of Greek dressing or something like that.
I was not a fan. I've come accustomed to your oil, your vinegar, exactly. your lemon,
right.
I like that.
Yeah, and that's good. But I think, you know, back in California, I loved Trader Joe's. I only went to Trader Joe's. I definitely miss Trader Joe's, but
yeah.
I would make these bowls with arugula and feta and some couscous and some sweet potato stuff and Brussels sprouts. You know, it's stuff that I could find here, but since Italy is, you know, they have a lot of foods that's in season.
So seasonal, yeah.
And you try to find something, you're like, oh, I can't get it because, you know,
it's not that time of year.
Right, exactly. But I wouldn't find something like that at a restaurant. And even there are some healthier restaurants around here that, you know, they have maybe four things in a bowl and it's like, ooh, this is a very exciting salad.
Yeah, that's so funny. It's so true.
Yeah.
So if you had to pick, I'm going to put you on the spot here again.
Oh, no.
California lifestyle or Italian lifestyle? Which one's healthier? I'm very curious about this one.
I would say Italian, because I think as far as the mental aspect as well, because, you know, as we've mentioned, it's not just about the diet and food. I feel like mentally, it's just so much more relaxed here and there's not as much pressure to, you know, be fit and be working out all the time, because people are just healthier. People walk everywhere. People just enjoy good food and they're not rushing through meals. And sometimes I feel like with LA, a lot of it is just very fake. People are doing these diets or getting these juices or these smoothies because they're trendy and stuff like that. Whereas I feel like here it's just very real of you can have bread at dinner, you can eat pasta, and it's not oh God, you know, everyone's so scared of pasta in LA.
Yeah, not here. It's a sin not to eat the pasta.
Exactly. And so it's there's just more balance here. And while it may seem LA has all this healthy stuff and you have the beach and whatever, I feel like it could be a little bit fake. Whereas here, I feel like people just enjoy a good life and a good lifestyle. And it just seems more authentic to me.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. It's authentic. Yeah. Very authentic. Yeah.
And I'm not giving up my pasta ever.
Oh, yeah, no.
In fact, my best pasta dish I had in Bologna.
Oh, yeah?
Like my top favorite bowl that I have had the entire 5 years that we've lived here was at the food market in Bologna. It was like, I don't remember what it was, some kind of like pumpkins, ravioli,
rigatoni.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. What's the best thing you've eaten so far?
I would say, I mean, I love the tagliatelle ragu.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good here. Yeah, so I've gotten that a lot as well. But also actually in Florence, I had this amazing ravioli that was with the mushrooms and the truffle cream.
Oh, yeah.
So good. That was amazing. I love anything with the truffles.
It's fantastic, but it's so funny because I tell Jen, we talk about this, like there's Italian like hotbeds for food. Like, you know, if you're going to go there, it's going to be amazing. And her and I both consider Bologna to be one of those locations.
Yeah.
But Rome, to me, has the best quartet of pasta. Like the Roman pastas, and since we've moved here, you know, obviously we eat them quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But they're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like your carbonara, your cacio e pepe, it's so funny how different the cuisine is depending on the location or the region. Even though Italy is actually a really small country, it's so diverse in the food. And I think people don't realize that sometimes.
Yeah, I know. That is very interesting because whenever I've gone somewhere in Italy, I always try to see what the regional, you know, typical food is.
One of the most fun things to do.
Exactly, because it really is so different everywhere you go. And that's why I'm also dying to go back to Rome, because I do need some good carbonara and cacio e pepe, amatriciana is one of my favorites as well.
When we were just talking about favorite food, I had another favorite question that popped into my mind, which is, have you, as you've been like studying Italian for these years, do you have a favorite Italian word?
Oh my gosh.
Because it is so beautiful. Like, and it's, mine's so random.
What's yours?
Mine is the word for highlighter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is a good word. Tell them, Jen.
Okay, so it's not like this is a word that I use often, because I'm obviously not talking about highlighters on a regular basis.
But
it's just so fun to, I guess I could be.
If you love the word that much, you would work it into your vocabulary every day.
I did just get to use it like last week, but the word for highlighter is evidenziatore, if I said pronounced it correctly. But it's just so fun to say. And that and allora, I mean, how fun.
Classic.
A classic. Have you seen the Aziz Ansari on Netflix? Like,
yes.
Oh, Laura.
That's what my friends always say to me. They're always like, because that's just like one of the only words they know. You know, they'll be like, how many times have you said allora?
I'm like, all day, every day.
And then when I do have to say, or not have to say, but when I use it in a situation, I just feel like I'm laughing to myself.
Because
here we go. I'm actually using it.
Because I'm saying it that way. I'm like, allora. Any words come to mind for you?
I would say probably the word mozzafiato is like something that's breathtaking.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah, I feel like I don't hear it a lot, but when I did hear it, I was like, oh, that's very nice. And one of the first words that I learned when I was like using apps was motocicletta, and I just like the sound of it sounds so cute for the word for motorcycle. Motocicletta.
Yeah.
It's cute.
And I'm like, I just always thought it was so adorable. And I'm like, what's a chicleta?
It definitely, that's definitely a cute word.
Yeah.
James's favorite word is probably bull, because you say it all the time.
Oh, yes.
I'm big on bull. Bull basically means, you know, I don't know for the most part.
Yeah.
One of my favorite words, I have a lot of them, but one of my favorite words is actually marciapiedi, which is like sidewalk. Because when I first heard it, I was like, you know, I think about marching, you know, and I'm like, the sidewalk, even though there basically aren't sidewalks here in Rome anyway. But I really like that word, and it kind of stuck with me when I was studying for the Italian driver's license. Even though there's more cars parked on the sidewalk in Rome than there are like usable sidewalks for people to walk, but that's a story for another day.
And It made me think of another favorite question. I'm on a roll with favorite questions today. Okay. But when you said, so like back as we continue like with this conversation about language learning, and you said like sometimes you would watch shows on TV. And I think for me personally, that made a big impact because although it is a passive learning activity, it does, you do get to hear more of like the colloquial style of speaking, where like in schools or in lessons, you might hear a more formal or like in a textbook, a more formal way. Whereas when you are watching some of these shows, it's more casual and things that you can actually use in conversation. But is there like a show or a movie or series that really pulled you in when you would be doing shows or even a book, but something more like pop culture of Italian?
Yeah. So I really loved the show called Baby on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. That was about a school here in Rome, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So I started watching that after I got back from Rome, and, you know, all the shots of Rome was, and just hearing the language again actually really sparked my interest again and motivation, because I was like, oh my gosh, I miss Rome so much. I love the way it sounds, and watching that was really motivating for me because I still felt that connection to Rome. A lot of people did tell me though that it might not be the greatest show because they do have such like Roman accents that can be a little difficult.
It's not easy. Yeah, it is not easy.
But I, you know, that was when I first was starting to learn. I was like, oh, this sounds so cool. It's so great. Like, I just loved watching it to hear it. And I thought the story was very interesting. I thought like the visuals of it was really cool. The music, there were just so many things I liked about that show. It was very like bingeable to me. And I think there were three seasons, I think. So definitely a lot of content to get through.
Yeah. So this whole time that I've been hearing you describe like tips for language learning, and, you know, even in some of your YouTube videos that I was watching, which I did enjoy, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I noticed that there's, believe it or not, a lot of similarities between exercise and studying a language.
Yeah.
And this is something that I'm a firm believer in. And I'm curious to know if you think it kind of translates the same in, you know, learning a language, is when it comes to exercise, more isn't always better, but some is better than none. Would you think it's the same with learning a language?
Definitely. Yes. That's very true. I never really thought of it like that, but I think that's so true, because I actually noticed sometimes that I felt a lot better if I would like take a break for a little bit from Italian and then come back and, you know, maybe I'd be reading something or watching something. And I don't know if it's just because I felt more refreshed or, you know, not overworked or anything, but I think taking breaks and, you know, kind of letting yourself like mentally recover in a way is kind of the same as recovery, you know, when you're working out as well.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that's, I would say, is very true as well for language learning.
As a coach, I've always been very aware of diminishing returns, you know, where you're doing something and you're struggling and it's not quite a successful venture for you at that particular time. A lot of us want to keep going and get through it, but sometimes it's actually making us worse. Like, it's hurting us. Like, we need to stop. We need to take a break. We need to restart, because we're not going to get over that barrier, that hump in that particular moment.
And burnout's not cute.
No.
Oh, God.
And it's like, you can definitely burn out in exercise. You can burn out in a language. So it's definitely striking that balance.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So you were here in Rome studying film originally.
Yeah, communications and some, like I had a few film classes.
Okay. So knowing a final favorite question here, and this is really unrelated to anything, but we always like to ask when we're doing interviews at the end, like some sort of like personality style question. But what movie would you say has the best soundtrack?
I thought about this and it's so difficult for me, but I think, okay, so my mind first, maybe this will be too basic of an answer, but my mind first went to the movie La La Land.
La La Land.
Yes. I loved La La Land. It was, I thought, have you ever seen it?
No. Mm-mm. Neither one of us have seen it.
Oh my gosh.
We're terrible.
Okay. Well, I absolutely love the soundtrack. I mean, after I saw the movie, I listened to the soundtrack on Spotify for like months afterwards. I thought it was so good. It's just like Damien Chazelle did it. I don't know if you, he also did the movie Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
That also is really fantastic. I think movies that, I mean, La La Land is a movie musical. So of course there's going to have like, you know, the rhythm of the music is intertwined with like the actions and, you know, just the music kind of plays a role in the movie as well. I don't know if you ever saw Baby Driver, but that movie also,
yes.
I really love. Yeah.
Baby Driver was awesome. This is so bad, but like when I think of this question, like I love music and Italian music. I either listen to Italian music or country music. So go figure how that works out. But like, you know, it's a big part of learning the language for me. The movie that I thought of, and I can't think of any other songs except this one song, is Armageddon. Like how I don't know, how terrible is that? Like that's the only thing that came to mind.
So random.
Yeah, but I mean, a really good song, you know. But like, and real quick, like I don't know if you've seen this, and I'm a ridiculously huge fan, and I've actually watched the movie in Italian before. Is Fast and Furious is filming right now, right around the corner for where Jen and I used to live in Trastevere. They're doing like the 10th, that's right, the
10th
version of the movie. And they've been filming in Rome. So really cool.
Wow, that is cool.
And random.
I mean, you know, Jen, we're talking movies here. And is there really a greater series ever created than Fast and Furious?
And on that note.
Debatable, yes. I guess.
On that note, we really loved having you on the show and chatting about Italy and the different ways of learning a language and integrating it into our life. And before we end today, is there anything that you want to share about how our listeners can connect with you or what's the best way to reach you if they wanted to connect?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram page. It's at Day with Shay. And I usually post a lot of stories about what I'm up to in Italy. And then also my YouTube channel as well is Shay Jordan. And I like to post a mixture of some of my Italian travels here, but still trying to get in some study videos and productivity routine kind of videos. I also recently launched a Patreon account, which I'm still building up. But
Very cool.
Yeah, patreon.com/adaywithshay. So I'll post like some extra content on there. So yeah, just trying to share as much as I can about how my life here in Italy has been and still studying and sharing my progress with everyone.
Awesome. And I will link all of those in the show notes so our listeners can check there for the links to connect with Shay.
Cool. Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much. It was so fun to talk with you.
Awesome. It has. It's been wonderful. Thank you so, so much.
Yes. Fantastic speaking with you today, Shay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And I think that we will end this by saying, ci vediamo presto.
Have a good one, everyone.
Bye.